Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview coming to you live here from the Valley on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me in the studio here at the Valley is Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Spot anyone on your way around today on the way in?
Maybe.
No one?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Ooh, maybe. Well, more on that later. Well, he didn't really actually, so don't hang on for that.
And
also joining us here in the studio is Mr. Nathan Miller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream.
Are ya?
Oh yeah.
Gonna sell the Dream 20 former Nottingham Forest owners at any point?
No.
No. Excellent.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, on tonight's show. On tonight's show, we will be discussing the fact that yesterday here at the Valley, a certain Mr. Fawaz Al-Hawazi was spotted here at the ground, the former Nottingham Forest owner. So we'll discuss that. We'll also discuss a statement from Ronan du Châtelet that appeared on the club website during the week and the ins and outs of that and the reaction to it. And that's your three-word review as well. Actually, want to know how you reacted to that. Later on in the show, we're going to hear from new signing Jamie Ward. We signed him on loan a couple of weeks ago. He's finally back from international duty, so we actually might actually get to see him play on this weekend up at Bradford. So we're going to hear from him. We're going to hear from Lyle Taylor. We heard from him on Sunday, but we're going to hear from him again, talking about his strike partner, Carlin Grant. Got time to look ahead to Bradford City after that. It's going to be Simon Parker from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus who's going to tell us how the Bantams have been shaping up in a bit of a difficult start to the season from then. And of course, we're going to hear from the Charlton boss himself, Mr. Lee Bowyer, previewing the game. Right, plenty of stuff to get your teeth into tonight, but first things first, yesterday evening, we're all sat there just trying to have a lovely time, weren't we? Enjoying our Wednesday evenings. I was watching a little bit of Friday Night Dinner, the sitcom, just having a nice time. And then my evening was ripped into shreds by a tweet from a Hassan Saif. And it was a photo of the former Nottingham Forest owner, Fawaz Al-Hawazi, at the Valley. And the caption of the tweet said, "Very soon, loading." And it was a photo of Fawaz here at the Valley. Hassan is Fawaz's right-hand man. He was involved. I think he might have been the CEO at Forest. His exact job title is quite unclear, but he was certainly involved at Nottingham Forest while Fawaz was there. Now, Fawaz's time at Forest was not without his controversies, to say the least. So whilst Charlton are now still in this bizarre, elongated process of trying to find out what's going on, you know, selling the club, for him to all of a sudden turn up, and then you can see in the photo, and sources confirm that he was being led round by Livren de Turk, Roland's, you know, man in at the club at the moment. All of a sudden, some fans were slightly worried that the club might be going into the hands of someone who's quite recently had a very difficult spell at a different club.
Yeah, it was out of the frying pan into the fire for a lot of people, wasn't it? And when I first saw it, I couldn't remember because I was up in Nottingham for uni, and I couldn't remember if he was there when I was up or not, but he wasn't. And it used to be owned by someone else, didn't it, who sadly passed away. And that was when I was up there and they were getting close to the playoffs every season and pushing forward. And then after that was when this guy came in, and since then I think they've been close to relegation two or three times. They sort of remember a quote about someone being like their next Sir Alex Ferguson, which I'm sure we can relate to as well. And there was a lot of alarming similarities between what we've already got and what was being shown around the ground. And you start to think, is it better the devil we know? Which, you know, and we've got it bad at the moment, but could it even be worse? And like when we get new signings, you take what people from those clubs say. And I mean, they were very quick to say, look, you don't want this guy anywhere near your club. But yeah, I mean, it was very early days in terms of why he was being shown round. But as you say, the guy who was showing him round, the Belgian guy, is, as we understand it, here to broker a deal between any potential buyer and Roland. And so if he's showing him round and he has previously owned football clubs, you assume, therefore, that's why he's here. Yeah, I mean, the story seems to have changed today, but that's how it seemed last night.
Yeah, the latest update from Richard Corley this morning, and it was doubled down in the Evening Standard this evening, was that Roland, presumably, Charlton, aren't happy with the fact that this photo was posted on social media. Now, again, it was posted by this Hassan character, so it wasn't by me originally, but obviously once it's out there, it's out there, and then you can dissect it as you want, and so apparently Roland's not too happy with that, and the deal therefore may now already be off the table. So, you know, you have non-disclosure agreements when you get into processes like this. And if you've breached it within 24 hours, you can see how that might, you know, ruin the trust between the two parties, and when there's so much money involved. And of course, trust is an important thing. I mean, just looking at some of the comments from Forest fans here that replied to the tweet, I really hope this doesn't go through. He almost ruined Nottingham Forest from one disaster for another. The EFL should be blocking this in no uncertain terms, is from one Forest fan who tweeted me. Another one said, whatever you think of Roland, Al Hassawi will take Charlton to new lows. In this case, it really is a case of better the devil you know. Don't let Al Hassawi anywhere near Charlton. Take it from Forest fans. There was one Forest fan said he wouldn't even wish him on Derby County. And if you know the rivalry between the two clubs there, then you know that's quite serious. Because, I mean, what was your reaction, Nath, when you saw that story, when you saw he was floating around the valley yesterday?
To be fair, I laughed. it sounds crazy, but it'll only be Charlton where, even though the rumours were rubbish, you go from Usmanov to Fawaz literally in days, and it was funny. And then I knew there was unrest there, but I've done a little bit of digging yesterday, and their current chairman Nicholas Randall QC or something. He said when he took over, the health of the club was in intensive care.
Yeah, intensive care. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like we're going from I won't use the analogy I used off there, but you're like picking your poison, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's insane, and it's just only Charlton would get from everyone being, oh, this would be very nice, to, oh, great, so it's another one of these guys. But in hindsight, if, you know, as Rich said, and as the Evening Standard, if it isn't, you know, if they're not happy about it, hopefully they do think twice, going, maybe we shouldn't touch this with a barge pole. Because that, to me, straight away, it strikes me as worrying. Is it going to be even better than it is now? You know, everyone deserves another chance, and I think Fawaz come out and said he learnt lessons and blah-de-blah, but I think we've heard that before somewhere as well. So hopefully it just goes away like a bad smell. That's not the right analogy, but yeah. Hopefully, I just want a normal geezer or a normal woman, you know, just to come and
Steve
take
Evans.
Us over.
That's a big geezer. Sorry, your geezer's mixed up there.
But yeah, I just want someone normal. There's got to be a Rich Chant fan out there. There's got to be.
Yeah, but you've got to be worth a hell of a lot more money than that. I mean, the only thing I will say is, I mean, so obviously now this non-disclosure agreement's been breached quite, you know, if that is the case, which is what's been reported, obviously quite flagrantly all over Twitter and Instagram as well. Mm. You know, I don't know if anything ended up on Snapchat or on Tinder, but
we'll see. Everyone's blinder.
Yeah. But I mean, the only thing we'll say, I mean, if Roland is though still struggling to sell the club, which as we can see is the case, but if this Fawaz guy comes back and says, look, I'm really sorry, you know, we put it up on, you know, on teletext or whatever, but actually here's £50 billion. I mean, if he comes, obviously not that much, if he comes in with a really high offer, then all of a sudden Roland probably won't care about the NDA, will he? He might be like, well, yeah, go on then. So, I mean, hopefully it's the end, but I mean, there's still scope that could change, isn't there?
I think so, yeah. The question would be, why would anyone want to spend that amount of money, which is the thing we've come back to, irrespective of whether the new owner is any good or not. The fact is that Roland's trying to sell a product that's worth X amount for X amount plus 50 million. And that's what's causing him difficulty. But you're right. Look, if somebody really sees that it's an investment worth buying, then, you know, it becomes a bid. And if they bid the right amount, then Roland's going to accept. Personally, I don't think, and you would hope, certainly with someone who's perhaps had the track record of this guy, but you would hope that they're more sensible than that and they'll offer a sensible amount. Mm. And until a sensible amount gets accepted, unfortunately, we're going to be stuck with Roland. But if that makes sure that we get an owner in who's going to take this club forward and actually do a decent job, then I'm prepared to wait.
It does. I mean, obviously, like I say, you tend to go off what the Forest fans have told us about this lot here with Al Hazawi and, you know, his motley crew or whatnot. But if the impression that they were sort of giving is that, oh, you want to be careful about this lot, they're rather haphazard and a little bit incompetent. I guess what's happened over the last 24 hours, where they've turned up and started tweeting photos all over the shop, does sort of give that impression a little bit.
Yeah, it does, and that's what I mean. I don't think the Forest fans would just come out and just say it for the banter, because they don't really have any rivalry with them apart from the Nick and our song. But it's like a schoolboy era, because even the picture itself, it just made me laugh. So it looked like, I don't know, like for what it was, a front of an album cover or something. I don't know, just like looking in the distance. I don't know, but yeah, it's crazy, especially if. If the guy who did send it is, you know, in part of the regime, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. It seems very amateurish.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of Forest fans, what they say particularly about this Hassan guy is quite interesting. Like I say, his job title was actually quite hard to track down, but the Forest fans reckoned he came in with very little experience and just so happened to be a mate, which is certainly something we've heard before. Fawaz whilst during his time at Forest, he was accused of meddling in the first team. Now, whether he did or didn't, that can't be proved by me. I'm sure there's quotes in papers and stuff, though, but that's certainly what he was accused from. So, I mean, it would very much be like, you know, that meme of Spider-Man pointing at the other Spider-Man. It's the same guy. It sounds very similar. So I think there'll be a fair few Trump fans who hope this won't be the case. You know, if it turned out that it was the case, then you'd have to... Some people think, well, I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Other people certainly won't. So it's interesting. But let's park that now, because hopefully that's not going to be the case. But that's what's happened so far this week. Right, something else has happened this week. Now, this is only 2 days ago, and it was so crazy at the time. Now, I saw this happen. I thought, brilliant, that's the first 20 minutes of the show sorted for Thursday. We've already forgotten about it. So basically, you know, in... we all remember the statement after the Middlesbrough game protest a few years ago, which clearly came from Roland du Châtelet himself. I remember I was sat at Ebbsfleet watching the Kent Senior Cup game with the Cheltenham under 23s, and I just so happened to be staring at someone's laptop while they had to be posting a statement that came direct from Roland, so I knew where that came from. This one's got all the hallmarks of this, of a statement posted on the Charlton website on Tuesday. You know, we're all aware that the EFL is due to meet the club and also the Supporters Trust. It turns out it's going to be early October, this meeting. And the club have, officially no name on this, but it's come directly from the club. Another clue is it hasn't been tweeted or put on Facebook or anything. It's only been on the club website. Normally when that happens, it's because certain people... you don't want too many people to see it. So this is what the statement says. It says, the EFL said they want to meet the club to get a full understanding of the current situation that surrounds the club. One of the key factors that's played a role in the differences between the fans and the ownership has been around communication. Therefore, the club has written to the EFL and suggested as part of the process that they examine the communications by the club, by card, the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust on various social media platforms. Once they have analysed the past communication and have a broader awareness of all the facts, we have asked the EFL to make recommendations on how the club and other groups can improve this. We have asked that recent events investigated include the employee bonus issue, cost efficiencies relating to cleaning, and the supply of drinking water at the training ground. We've also asked the EFL to consider, are the cost efficiencies helping the sale of the club? Are the protests helping the sale of the club? The club will meet with the EFL in early October to discuss in more details. Tom, your initial reaction to the statement?
Complete nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. I don't even understand really what it's trying to say. And the two questions, are the cost efficiencies helping to sell it? No, because we're not selling it. Are the protests helping the sale? Well, they've got nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. No one's coming round. What's his name? Looking round the ground yesterday and going, yeah, but there was a protest here a couple of weeks ago at Crisps. So I would have bought it, but... So it's complete madness. And it just seems to be... It's just a rant again. And it's trying to dig out other people, trying to point the finger at other people. It's got nothing to do with communication anymore. That was a problem at the start, and a problem that, to a certain extent, got resolved because we did start to get more communication about things. It's maybe not been the communication we want, but it has been. So to then go, oh yeah, the EFL forgot all about that. It's actually about communication. That was always the problem. Well, no, it's not. It's not that at all anymore. So, yeah, just another mad rant that it's just, well, you're laughing when you read it out. It is just laughable.
I know over the years we have actually, I've certainly done it on Twitter a couple of times, tried to compare Roland Duchatelet to Donald Trump. But I was reading through this and I was like, this is just him, like, when Donald keeps talking about Crooked Hillary about 4 years after the thing, was like, this is him saying, but her emails, but about Card, like, what about Card's emails? I mean, how on earth does he expect the EFL to go to Card, who they have absolutely no control over, and ask them to improve their tweeting? I mean, what's all that about?
I don't know, he's sandwiched short of a picnic, isn't he? He's like, the only thing that makes sense in that, whatever it is, ain't even a statement, it's just a date and a time. And if everything else is a load of old pants.
There's no date or time on it, actually.
At the bottom, right at the bottom.
Oh, there is right at the bottom.
There you go. That's near hidden or there, but it's just, I don't know. Like you said, oh, yeah, can the EFL please send a letter to Card, please, to improve the communication? Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Because they're really going to adhere to what the EFL say. I mean, the geezers, I don't know, mate.
But also, he said, we've asked that recent events investigated include the bonus issue. That's what everyone else wants investigated, because he's presumably broken contract, if that's to be believed.
Everyone else
wants that investigated too.
Is like, what I'd like on there is I'd like him to answer his own question like Bose does. Yeah. Are the cost efficiency helping the sale of the club? Right, you answer that then. Yeah. Go on. What do you think?
Yeah.
Absolute...
If only, I just wish you'd put a third question. We want the EFL to consider, are the cost efficiencies helping the sale of the club? Are the protests helping the sale of the club? Has he played the game? No, he hasn't played the game.
Dude, does the EFL want Roland out?
The EFL's just some big geezer organisation.
Big bunch of geezers. Seeing up there. Right, so that was Roland's statement. Now, of course, as you'd expect, there was a reaction to it from the Coalition Against Roland Duchatelet, who are part of the, they're protesting outside the EFL headquarters tomorrow, actually, the ones in London.
Just listen to this one when you read it out.
Yeah.
In terms of making sense.
Right, the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, which is part of Card, is already due to meet the EFL on October the 17th. However, all elements of the Coalition are keen to assist the EFL in any investigation relating to its wider activities and the club's current operations. In respect to communications, we believe the EFL would need to interview a number of national, local and London journalists in order to gain an understanding of recent stories about the club, a number of which had necessarily been sourced from and indeed attributed to Duchatelet's own current employees rather than supporters groups. We invite the EFL to consider the qualifications and experience of people Duchatelet has employed in senior positions at the club since 2014, as well as the current lack of executive management at the Valley and the contribution that this has made to Charlton's predicament, along with the activities of supporters over that period. In particular, we would like the EFL to carry out an independent audit of the staff bonus issue, but only on the basis that the owner agrees to be bound by the outcome. We further invite the EFL to consider and disclose whether the club's own repeated statements to staff and supporters in respect of the EFL's position as the obstacle to the proposed takeover are a truthful and complete explanation of the hold-up, or whether they are materially misleading. The club wants the EFL to consider whether cost efficiencies reported by the media or protest, of which there has been one at a match since in 2018, are helping the sale of the club. Any meaningful examination of these points would surely also need to consider whether Duchatelet's asking price is actually the major reason the club has not been sold. Card believes the EFL could perform a useful service to all concerned by investigating all these matters thoroughly and pledges its full cooperation. We have nothing to hide. However, this must be on the basis that any such examination is independent, balanced, and that the outcome will be published, even if it directly undermines this latest bizarre attempt by the owner to deflect responsibility from his own serially incompetent administration of the club. Plenty of points in there, Tom.
Yeah, and like I say, it's succinct, it's clear, it's well written, you understand what they're asking for. It sounds like it's been written by people who know what they're doing. And I think whether you like Card or not, whether you agree with what they're doing or not, I think their communication has always been brilliant. I don't think when they've had a go at the club or the owner or whoever, they've done it with purpose, and it's made sense and it's been rational. It hasn't just been some rant of passion or emotion. They've thought about it and they've put the facts across, and they're right. Asking those two questions that Roland's chosen to target, or whoever, you know, I mean, it pretty much it is him, but that the club have put out. What about all the other things? Like, he's not asking them to address them. And Carter saying, well, no, actually, these are all the points you need to consider, and if we're going to do this, let's do this properly.
I mean, it's been a running narrative throughout this four and a half years or so, nearly coming up to 5 years now, actually, wouldn't it be? Yeah, of the of Roland's ownership. The fans of, you know, is when Katrine would often point the finger at the fans, the supporters. I mean, Roland quite clearly said in his statement after the Middlesbrough game a couple of years ago that some people want the club to fail. I mean, can the supporters take any blame for the situation that's happened over the last few years?
No. Not for me. No, not at all. I think, can they be blamed for protesting? You can protest. You can't be blamed for being protest. You have a right to protest. There's only one. The person at the top of the tree at the end of the day is the governor, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we'll put this question because I think this is what Roland's sort of. What could the fans have done differently in this case that would have suddenly made
to help him?
Yeah, to get back into the championship.
That's
yeah.
what he wants. He wants us all just to sit there and like a customer and just sit there.
Because I mean, it's quite clear that protests didn't start before anything was going wrong.
Yeah, it's not like we started protesting on day one. It's not like no one gave him a chance. It's not like no one, you know, it's not like everyone started frying packets of crisp on the day he signed the club, because everyone, you know, was quite, everyone was quite looking forward to it when Richard Murray come out and said, you know, we don't have to sell our best players, you know, we're going to be competitive and stuff. And it's only when we were being run in a shoddy way, in my opinion, that, you know, it all started and that's where it's ended up. So I don't think you can ever blame the fans for how it's gone, because it's only down to one person or two people, and he's at the top of the tree, so he's there to be shot.
I don't think in the last four or five years there's been any game you could argue that the fans haven't at least at the start tried to give 100%. All you should be doing as fans is either come in or not come in if you feel that's what you want to do, and then back in the team. And even during the protests we saw, well, results prove it, we got behind the team. And even through games, even the 6-0 or 5-0 away from home under Carroll, the fans at least tried. They travelled there. They spent hundreds of pounds travelling across the country to back the team. So that's doing everything and more than he can ask for, because he shouldn't even expect that of fans. That's a fan's choice to do that. So fans have gone above and beyond time and time and time again, and will continue to do so for the rest of their lives. Because that's what fans do. But he shouldn't have any expectation of the fans.
He doesn't see us as fans. Does
no,
he?
Not
he
just, at all.
I know we've said about the customer thing before, but it is true, because he doesn't see as you buying into the club and something you work all week for to go and enjoy. He just sees that you just pay, and if you lose, you lose.
If but we were coming here and we were getting games abandoned and we were getting points deductions, or we were fines abusing players or making it clear that players couldn't play or anything like that, I'd understand. Would I even understand that? I don't even know if I would, because even that's his fault for the way he's run the club. But at least then he perhaps would have a point in that that's not helping the team. But that's not what it's been like at all.
The questions he's asked, the two bullet points, he said, we have also asked the EFL to consider, are the cost deficiencies helping the sale of the club? Are the protests helping the sale of the club? I mean, what does he expect the EFL to turn around and say there? Because the EFL aren't the ones selling the club.
No.
So how would they know? How would they know what's going on? Like, the EFL weren't walking around with Fawaz yesterday, were they? So they don't know why why this has fallen through yesterday. It's been reported, but you know, they don't know why the Aussies haven't yet purchased the club. And what's that? I mean, how are they going to pin that on the protests?
No, exactly. And I think the way he's written it, it sounds like he's doing it in a smarmy way, saying, "Yeah, I know I'm right on this one." What if the EFL say, what was the answer to the question? Are the cost efficiencies helping the sale of the club? What if they say no, it's not?
Yeah.
Well, is he going to go, yes, it is?
They're turning the lights off. They're saving me money.
It's like, yeah, the EFL want Charlton to fail. That's all it is. You know what I mean? It's like, he's tried putting it to say, oh, yeah, look, I'm right. And they know it's, they know that the cost efficiencies are helping the sale of the club. Well, no, because as soon as we get taken over, everything that you've just tried stripping is going to get put back in place anyway.
Yeah.
So it's actually pointless doing what you're doing, but... Yeah,
and it's interesting, like I say, that he's asked the EFL to analyse. In particular, I find that the fact that he's asked the EFL to analyse the communication of Card and of the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, because I mean, surely for starters, they have absolutely no
affiliation.
They have absolutely no jurisdiction over these two these two groups of people.
I mean, us next.
It's not. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like the EFL aren't allowed to start listening to the podcast and start telling them, actually, Louis, you're not allowed to. Yeah, they ain't going to do that, and they can't do that with Card, and they can't do that with the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust. And then for the only thing I'm saying, I guess what he's trying to imply there is that these people have been unfair to him. But you know, come back with a better answer. Then, well, look what they said. Come back with an answer as to why you're right and why Card are wrong and why the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust. This is Supporters Trust. Card are a protest group. I understand that, and I understand the Supporters Trust have decided to align themselves with Card because of the situation at the club. But the Supporters Trust, I mean, go to a support. The Supporters Trust own some clubs. I mean, they are literally like the nicest fans you're going to get. They're the fans who love the club to the extent that they want to join together and try and make it better for everyone.
Yeah, and as I said before, the EFL have no power to do anything anyway. But even if they played up to this and they went, all right, then we're going to investigate Card. We're going to get every statement Card have ever written and look at it. What are they going to criticise? They've not said anything, as far as I'm aware, that's, you know, that they shouldn't have said. They might have criticised him, but everything they've said has been based on facts.
Yeah. I mean, if he feels like it's been unfair, then why is he not? Why is there not a libelous situation going on?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Deal with it.
Excellent. Right, let's have a very quick break here on Charlton Life. When we come back, we're going to start concentrating on you know, football.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Silver steps in, wins it back for Charlton, comes away on a run and then feeds Fosu over halfway. Fosu on the left-hand side, they're heading towards the penalty area, looking to take on Pond. Gets in the box, is he going to fall over? No, he's got it, Tetris! There's number three!
So welcome back, this is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Just before we go into our interview with Jamie Ward, I forgot to do the free word review of Roland's statement, so I put it out there to the supporters on Twitter. What is your three-word review of what Ronan du Châtelet's statement said on the club website? Ray Bate said, same old ball. Red Z said, looking to parley. Susie said, huh? With the two brackets down each side, so you count those as two words. John said, what on earth? Justin Fletcher said, please just leave. Roger Trar sent in a diatribe of abuse, which I'm not going to be able to read out, unfortunately. Non-user account said, losing the plot. James Franklin said, typical du Châtelet spin. And Red Robin 76 said, it was expected from him. Now, we've signed Jamie Ward on loan. You may be easy to forget that, because we did that a couple of weeks ago. We hadn't seen him since, obviously, he went off with Northern Ireland. But he's finally back now, and he's starting to settle in with the lads. So, Jamie Ward, I think it was his first training session with the lads today, and this is how he felt it went.
Yeah, it feels good to eventually get here. Like I say, it's been a little while, obviously, since the loan was all agreed, so... It seems to have took forever, the last 12 days or so, but now I'm here and yeah, I'm enjoying it. I've had a good morning. Lads are great lads, so it's important now to hit the ground running.
It must have been a bit of a weird situation signing and then not being here the next day and being away for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Usually if you move, you're there the next day, so I was probably a little bit nervous in all honesty. I think because it built up a little bit too much not being here for a little while. And yeah, but I think now, obviously, totally fine through the doors this morning, and hopefully we can kick on as a team and carry on with the unbeaten run.
Your first training session today, how was it? How was it to get sort of in and amongst it?
Yeah, great. At the end of the day, all I want to do is play football, and that's the most important thing. Hopefully, as long as I stay injury-free, then that could be the case here, as long as I'm performing. We've obviously got very good front players in the group, so it's going to be a battle for places, and that's where people should... take that into their game and hopefully make them perform better.
You obviously, you've trained today, you're at our game against Southend, which we won. I mean, what have you made of the lads so far from what you've seen?
The battle, we've got a lot of pace and power up top, so if in doubt, just clip in behind them, let them two chase after it. But yeah, they play some good football, and that's good to see. It's the most important thing is you want to try and play football and get out of the league as well as you can and as quick as you can. So I'm sure if we keep playing like that and getting them products, then we'll be okay.
Since signing and since the Southend game, you've obviously been away with Northern Ireland. Josh McGuinness, who of course used to be here, is in the Northern Ireland squad. Is he someone you spoke to about, Charlton?
Yeah, I spoke to Josh when I got news of the potential loan move. So, and he didn't have a bad thing to say about the place. He loved his time here. So it always helps when someone likes that knows the club inside out, knows the lads, and it settled me a little bit to obviously sign in here.
So there he was, Jamie Ward there, chatting to George Jones from Valley Pass. If you want to hear that full interview, make sure you head over to Valley Pass and pay a subscription, and you can hear the full interviews, and there's loads of stuff on there on Valley Pass, as well as the match day commentaries as well. I was going to say he's like a new signing. He's a new signing, obviously, but the fact he's now come back is like he's a new signing that's only come in this week.
Yeah. In as much as we've gone through the last 2 weeks without him, and we've got two wins out of two in the league. So, yeah, you look at that, okay, away at Southend.
You're saying he's unlucky?
Maybe, yeah. But we had Josh come in, obviously, played well at Southend, we got the win. And then, obviously, he went off. We lost out on Ward as well. Come up against Wickham without those two, still win the game. So now we're going to Bradford, and this is probably the fullest, fittest squad we've had. And even now we've got a couple of injuries as well. But... yeah, he's an exciting player, and again, just one that adds a little bit of experience. And he's going to be one that I think can add something more creatively going forwards as well. I think even though we've scored, what, 4 or 5 goals in the last two games, I still think we could be doing better going forwards. And I think he will offer that, particularly while Fosu's still sitting out his ban as well.
It's just nice to actually have a little bit of competition. So like Tom just said there, now Fosu's out, well, he's going to play. Well, and Jose as well. All of a sudden, we've got Ward coming back. And, you know, he's a bit older, actually, a bit more experienced as well. So all these things you think are going to be, you know, plus points for him.
Yeah, exactly. I think it provides good competition. He's good at set pieces. He works hard, direct. But I think also when, you know, Fosu does come back, it puts the other people under pressure to perform, because they know they've got someone more than capable to come off the bench or even start to fill in for him, because obviously Bo's already said, I think Jamie Ward is, I keep calling him Danny Ward, but Jamie Ward is a good championship player. So and that's what we've needed recently. I think in previous seasons we've probably known our team, especially when Ricky Holmes is here, we could probably name our team every single week, and then it wouldn't really change from that. But I think now it's going to give Bo's a bit of a headache. He's going to welcome a lot more for sure.
And the player himself said he spoke to Josh McGuinness, former Charlton striker, Northern Irish teammate as well with the national team. So he obviously said some nice things about the club. So obviously with the problems going on boardroom level, but it sounds like, you know, particularly under Bowyer and under Carl, to be fair, last season, I think the team spirit, you know, we compare that to where it was towards the end of the season before, when we were struggling a little bit in that front. You know, team spirit, it seems like the players all seem to pull together as one. It seems like a nice place to come and, you know, do your work and play your football.
Definitely. That's how it comes across to us. So it's good that's happening with players as well. We've seen the pull that Bowyer's already had and getting players over the line. And it sounds like players, like you say, have got nice stuff to say about the club as well. And I think you're right to reference Carl as well, because I think for a lot of last season the mood was good. Obviously he went off towards the end of the season to go to Oxford, but I mean the lift Bowyer gave when he came in was something else, and we saw the run we went on. Okay, we've maybe not carried that on, you know, it's not like we've gone on and won every game now, but we're performing very well this season as well. And you see look at the way they all celebrated around Naby Sarr the other day. You know, there's a good unit there, and it does look like a nice place to play their football, and I think it's showing with the results that we're getting.
Right, we had a good tweet in during the week, yesterday or this afternoon even, from Paul Quinn, who says, glad that you're praising Carlin Ahern, or Carlin Grant. He would have been listening to Sunday's show. He said, I think he will be an outstanding talent. Remember being at Sheffield Wednesday game a few years back when he started, and the fellow next to me booed him for losing the ball. Couldn't believe how quick this guy jumped on Carlin's back. We need to support him. And we have certainly been singing the praise of Carlin Grant so far this season. Another man has been doing so is Lyle Taylor. Obviously, Carlin Grant has assisted a couple of his goals recently, with a little help, of course, from Patrick Bauer on the weekend. But Lyle Taylor's been really pleased with his strike partner so far.
Yeah, I don't know what Pat was doing there, to be honest with you. But Carlin, yet again, Carlin down the side, beats his man 1v1 time and time and time again. And that is an invaluable skill and talent that he has. I got the final touch and put it in the back of the net. But for me, that goal comes down to the work that Carlin did last week, comes down to the work that Carlin did. And it might say Taylor on the score sheet, but really and truly, for me, the praise goes to him, and it goes to Pat for putting the ball back across the goal. So that's that. I mean, yeah, it's nice to score. It's always nice to score. But without my teammates, I am simply a bloke running around the field like a headless chicken, trying not to lose his rag and get kicked every time.
As partnerships go, it's getting quite nice.
It is. I mean, it's another. Okay, it's not directly an assist, but for me, it is an assist in what Carlin has done. So it's a big thank you to him, and a big thank you to the ball in from Reevesy for Naby to score his goal, because that causes carnage and Naby ends up poking the ball home. There's things we can work at, and we will work at offensively, defensively, but we'll get there. We'll be okay, because we want to be better.
Lee was saying a few minutes ago that you did some extra training this year for the runners to get you up to where he wants to be. Do you feel like you're not fit? He's just asking that bit extra.
Every manager is different. Now, the role that I'm being asked to play is fine by me. It suits me, and I want to be the best player I can possibly be. So if that means that Mr. Lee Bowyer has to run me on a Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday after the morning session or whenever it might be, then that's his prerogative. If he wants me to be fitter, it's not because he's punishing me, because if he was punishing me, I wouldn't be playing. I understand that the fitter I am, the better I am. So, quite simply, if the gaffer asks me to do anything, I'll do it. I might not do it with a smile on my face, but I'll do it, and it will be done to benefit me and to benefit the team and to benefit the club, the fans and everybody else involved. So, I'm not upset or pissed off, as it were. I'm simply another player trying to be better.
So there's Lyle Taylor there. Weed off. not weed off, actually. He's not upset or weed off, luckily. Talking about, obviously, you got some extra running from Lee Bowyer in the build-up to last week's game against Wickham, which he was happy enough to do. Mainly talking about his strike partner, Carlin Grant. Now, obviously, we've been talking about the partnership between the two of them all season so far, because it's been brilliant.
Yeah, it has. And I mean, in terms of Carlin, I think last season when he was banging him in for Crawley, I think there was a show we sat here and said, would you call him back? And I think we all said no. He needs that rhythm, he needs that time to go out on loan and score goals, and he's done that. And yeah, he started well, but there's still going to be inconsistencies with him, with a lot of our young players. And it's nice to see him doing really well, because he's such a direct player. You could see that he used to bang him in for the youth level consistently. And it's nice that he's learning, and he's obviously forged a decent little partnership with Lyle.
Yeah, and I mean, the two of them, like I say, I can't remember the last time we actually had a partnership that worked that well up top.
Probably Bradley and Paul Hayes. Maybe
at the start of the season,
and then maybe with Jan as well. Mm. But I mean, we're going back to a time when we stormed the title. So it's been a long time coming, and a lot of that's obviously down to Carl and the way he chose to play. I think goals over the last few years have been hard to come by. I was looking at the season we got relegated from the Championship. I think Goodmanson was our top scorer, four or five or something ridiculous. And so we've had it tough, but I think Lars has been a great bit of business, and when you combine him with someone like Carlin, who I think has shown glimpses of what he can do in the first team over the last few years, like Nave says, to have that confidence booster that's half season at Crawley last year, I think he's deserving everything he gets. And Igor's getting more and more fit now, and he's keeping him out of the team, and rightly so, because those two, like Lyle says himself, are forming a very good partnership. They've ironed out those little things they were getting wrong in the opening two or three games in terms of decision making, and if they can continue to do that, then we look very good going forwards.
Excellent. Right, it's almost time to start focusing on Saturday's trip up to Valley Parade to take on Bradford City. Just a very quick one, actually. I just want to point out that the Triton Athletic women's team are playing their first game of the season next Wednesday, and it's a particularly special game for Charlton Life because we are sponsoring the game. So we're all going to be down there at the Oakwood in Crayford to watch the game against Aston Villa, 7:45 p.m. kickoff next Wednesday. We'll probably talk a bit more about it on Sunday as well because, like I say, we are sponsoring the game. We're looking forward to getting down there. It'd be great to get as many Charlton fans down there as possible. You can get a season ticket for the women's team for just £40. I mean, that's really affordable. So even if you can't go to every game, if you want to support the team, you know, they do need funding. You know, they're a separate entity to the men's team and to the community trust, so they need funding. They're in the Championship now for the first time, which is the second highest division in women's football. You'd be great if you could come down with us next Wednesday, or if you can get your season ticket, just go and support the girls. Because they deserve it for the how well they've done over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, we've gone and seen them a few times. I think they played played some good stuff, for girls. I think Ratisha's got them playing well. They've got some new additions. You'll probably see, obviously, Kit bang some goals in like she always does. Mm. And yeah, hopefully she could do it Wednesday. It's gonna be a good night out.
Mm. Yeah, right. So that's Wednesday down at the Oakwood. The home of VCD, if you need to know where that is. But it's in between sort of Crayford and Barnhurst, I think it is. So over that way, we'll be down there next Wednesday, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Make sure you come and join us. Right, let's start looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to Valley Parade to take on Bradford City. It's been an interesting start to the season for the Bantams. Already been a managerial change at Valley Parade, so it's been a very turbulent start. So I caught up with Simon Parker from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus to find out how it's been going for them up there in Bradford.
It's been a bit traumatic, to be honest. I mean, it was a very left field appointment in the summer when they promoted the under-18s coach, Michael Collins. I mean, admittedly, he has got all his coaching badges, but I think no one saw it coming. And it was one of those appointments that you sort of thought straight away the public general reaction was what the, you know. So, I mean, he was up against it a little bit from the start, which you had to feel for him in a way because obviously he was sort of thrust into that position. But, you know, they've got a brand new team. I mean, they made 16 signings over the summer. You know, literally just sort of ripped the team and started again. And so far, you know, the form was, I mean, they won the opening game at Shrewsbury. Entertaining game, could have gone either way. And then it just tailed off and some of the performances were awful. And, you know, pretty early on, within weeks, you realised it was going to be a case of when, not if, they make a change. And they obviously made the change last week, bringing in David Hopkin.
And was the fans' reaction to David Hopkin coming in being like?
I think relief in a sense. I mean, there's a lot of anger with the chairman right now. I mean, obviously, you know, talking to a Charlton fan, it's sort of maybe not that, quite that situation yet. But, I mean, there's certainly, you know, a lot of discord with the owners currently. And probably the one thing that fans would say he's got right of late, the chairman here, is to make the change. I mean, you know, looking back, obviously, in hindsight, the Michael Collins appointment looked, you know, as obviously a mistake at the time. But he's now gone sort of the opposite, gone for an experienced manager. Obviously, David Hopkin, you know, he's looking to break into the English game. He had a cracking record at Livingston, took him up successive promotions on a very small budget. And he's just got the feel of a proper old school manager about him. He's only been in a week, but just talking to him, what he's trying to implement here, it's almost like a back to basics move, which is, given Bradford's situation currently, is exactly what they need.
And do you think, because obviously he's come in just after the transfer window's closed, has he got the players there available to try and turn this form around?
Yeah, well, that's the issue for him. I mean, you know, they brought a lot of players in over the summer. I mean, you know, some good players who currently aren't living up to their reputation. But what doesn't help at the moment is there are a few injuries, so he is quite limited of what he can do. And it must be a source of great frustration for him because, as you say, he comes in a week after the transfer deadline. You know, he could possibly look at free agents maybe, but you know, there's a few missing right now. But he needs basically players so far who've not performed anywhere near what they're capable of to sort of step up and start doing that. I mean, that's been the biggest disappointment. You know, you've got players. I mean, you're currently without central midfielder Hope Akpan, who's injured. But he was one of those who came in the summer from Burton, played virtually his whole career at the Championship level, and just has looked really off it in the first few weeks. And players like that, you sort of think, you know, with their pedigree, they should be doing a lot more in this league. So, you know, there's a lot of players who need to pull their socks up. But as you say, he's slightly hampered by the fact that he hasn't got many options to change things because of, you know, lack of personnel.
And you mentioned earlier about a little bit of discord between the fans and the owners. I mean, because they've gone through four managers so far this year. So what is the feeling at the club? Is it a little bit this, a little bit of chaos at the moment, or is it more the owners are sort of still trying to find their feet in the game?
Well, it's a strange one, because I mean, the owners have been here for just over 2 years now. They came in, and then the first season went fantastic. They obviously got the playoff final, lost to Millwall in a final with very little in it, lost a goal 5 minutes at the end, and then up to Christmas this last season. It sort of carried on where they left off. I mean, Stuart McCall, who's club legend, was manager at the time, and basically they're never out the top six. They've actually a fixture in the playoffs. And then over Christmas and early New Year, a few injuries, but they couldn't get players in January. There was a lot of disappointment. I think that's when the cracks started to appear, when basically people felt that the owners didn't support Stuart as well in the transfer window as they should have done, considering the position they were in, you know, after promises that if they were up there challenging, they would back them. And I think they felt that wasn't there. There were players missing, key players missing, and they had a losing run of 5 league games in a row and a cup defeat. And basically, they pulled the trigger at that point. And, you know, there's very few fans agreed with the decision, even given that run, bearing in mind how well they'd done before that. And since then, it's sort of been, well, by slippery slope. I mean, they brought Simon Grayson in on a short-term contract, which looked, at the time, looked a great appointment, given his fantastic track record of getting teams up from this league. But again, a bit like David Hopkins now, he come in after the transfer window, so he couldn't bring any players in. And I think he only won 3 in 14 games. So when his contract ran out, they offered him a new one, and he said thanks, but no thanks. And that's when we sort of stumbled through the summer. So it's been a real mishmash, a real mess of a year, to be honest. I mean, their form in 2018 has been dreadful. So they just need sort of someone to steady the ship before they can start looking upwards again. And I think they're hoping that if he's allowed to do so, you know, David Hopkins can sort of get a grip of this squad and hopefully sort of at least level things out.
And Hopkins' first game, of course, quite infamous already. The 2-0 up with 6 minutes left to play the other day at Blackpool and losing 3-2. So I guess that must have been a bit of a shock to the system and one that he's going to hope to get a reaction from on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a classic welcome to Bradford City, wasn't it? I mean, you know, to be honest, he's trying to just make him a bit more organised. Sort of hard to beat, you know. There's a touch of Phil Parkinson about him, which you can see already in terms of the way he wants to line his teams up. You know, they may not play flowing football quite so much now, but I mean, yeah, you know, having basically sort of kept Blackpool out in the first half while creating very little, they suddenly scored 2 in 5 minutes over the hour point, and at that point, you know, they looked in control, and then, as you say, it all went, you know, all fell off the wagon in the last 10 minutes, and sort of basically a combination of, I think, you know, sort of very fragile confidence, and probably a fact that there was a lot of tired legs out there because of the amount of running that Hopkins had them doing, which perhaps they weren't doing before. So as you say, yeah, they'll be looking for a reaction. I mean, it's his first home game, and he's, you know, talking to him, there's a real buzz about him. I mean, he had a brief career here. You know, so ironically, he's still the club's record signing. He was at $2.5 million when he came here from Leeds, but he was only here 7 months, and most of that he was injured, so it was a sort of a not very sweet stay. So he's very excited about the occasion, you know, and he wants to sort of, you know, all the talk about making Ballybrayder a fortress and what have you, but I think he just wants to put in a performance and show his team, you know, are fighting for the cause again and get those fans back on side, because as you say, there is that disconnect, which hopefully won't spill out onto the pitch, but certainly in a game against Charlton, you know, they know they've got to be on top of their game. The only problem is, of course, he's got a few injuries fighting, so it's, you know, he's limited in what he can do, but I think there'll be a well-drilled side, if nothing else.
And if you had to pick one man to be the danger man on Saturday that Charlton fans should be worried about, who would you pick?
Jack Payne. You know, he's they've got him on a year's... Again, he's another summer signing you sort of heralded as a great capture. I mean, he's on a season-long loan from Huddersfield. And, you know, he was fantastic in this league last year. Or he was obviously at Oxford for the first half of the year. And then he went to Blackburn, so he looked class the whole time. And he scored 3 goals, but he's got something different about him. You know, he's one of these who pops up in unusual areas. He's got very great control of the ball. He's got good vision, and he makes things happen. And, you know, he's got that sort of bit of the X factor, which, you know, is probably lacking on the team around him. So So certainly Payne can find the room. He's a bit of a Billy Clark type player, to be honest. If he can find the room, then he can hurt anyone.
There we go. Thanks to Mr. Parker there, Simon Parker from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus. He's the main man in the know up in Bradford, and he let us know how they're getting on. Obviously, it's been a very difficult start to the season for them, and now, even worse, they've hired a manager who used to play for Crystal Palace, so they're in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, they're having a tough old time. A bit like Shrewsbury, really. He had an okay season last season. I mean, Shrewsbury's obviously far better than theirs, and then dropped off a bit this year. They were doing really well under, was it Stuart McCall they had last year?
Simon Grayson afterwards.
Yeah, they had everyone last year.
Yeah, of course, yeah, because they only went for a few, didn't they? Yeah, but ever since that started to happen, really, they've sort of struggled, and it's been the same this year. They've, what, won one or two in the league this season, so a pretty poor start. And they're one of those who, I know it was a long time ago, longer ago than us, but they've got that big ground. They've had that previous experience. They're still, in name, a big club, and in history, a big club. So it's not an easy place to go by any stretch. And they obviously had that long, long unbeaten run at home, which fell away a lot last season. And obviously we grabbed a really good result there early on last year. They've struggled so far this year. And like the other teams we've played recently, I don't think we should go there with anything to fear. And we're on the back of two good wins, and we're in a good bit of form. So, yeah, I'm quietly confident.
It's interesting, wasn't it? You said there's a little bit of tension. I've noticed it on Twitter. There's a little bit of tension between the owners and the fans at Bradford. I mean, they've done some good things there, these owners, as well. They ordered season tickets are really cheap, so they get really good crowds up at Bradford. But it's just interesting how everywhere there seems to be this little bit of friction between fans and owners at every club these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's obviously the left field appointment of the youth coach, which you hope that he does well when he, if you're a Bradford fan, obviously, I hope he does well because he's come from youth and that, but it was an appointment where Bradford are probably looking at someone a bit more settled and a bit more experienced, because it weren't long ago when they were, when they had Marshy and
2 years
Darkie,
ago, the playoff final, yeah.
They were up there and they fell away a bit last year. And that, they were hoping, they've got some good players there. You've got Doyle there up front, who I think we were linked with him in January or something.
That's right, yeah, when he went to Oldham.
Yeah, they've got obviously Seydorf. I think he's distantly related. I don't think he's
Clarence Seydorf.
No, he's distantly Sherwin. Related.
Sherwin Seydorf.
But yeah, I don't know if. Yeah, I mean, they've got some good players, but yeah, now they've got a ex-Palace player. Yeah, I mean, trying to win even more.
You could only go downhill now they've brought David Hopkin in. Right, 2-0 up. His first game, they were 2-0 up with 6 minutes left to go. Blackpool lost by 3 goals to do. Excellent stuff. Right, we're so going to pay for this on Saturday, aren't we? Right, obviously from a Charlton point of view, we want to know what's going on with the team. So Jamie Ward and Josh Cullen have both been away on international duty this week. So Lee Bowyer was asked if they have come back injury free.
Yeah, they're both fine. Obviously, Josh played 290 minutes while he was away. So rather, that didn't happen on a Tuesday, but obviously we can't control that. I just spoke to Jamie there, and he's raring to go. He came and watched us against Southend, and he's excited. It's a new challenge for him. And he's looking forward to getting out of there and showing us what he can do.
Could both figure at Bradford City?
Maybe. I have to have a look at Josh. He's played 90 minutes on Tuesday. He's then have to travel back from Ireland. So I'll see how he is this morning. Might be a case of bringing him on later on in the game. But I'll weigh it up. I'll see. But Jamie, I think he's raring to go. So I think for him drifting off the wings, I think he's very effective. And could do well on Saturday, I think.
Can you confirm whether Christian Bielik, Darren Prattley and Nicky Ajosi are all unavailable for Saturday because of injury?
Yeah, they're all unavailable. I think they all might be running in the next maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, so they're out for a little while. But that's a norm now in today's football. As you start getting people back, you lose people. But that's because of the effort they put out there every day in training and games. Unfortunately, that's just part of the game.
I've asked you this before, I'll ask you again. Do you ever dream of having a fully fit squad available to you?
Yeah, I think every manager would say yeah to that. But it's never really the case. There's always injuries in the squad, and that's why it was important for us to bring in quality players. So when we do get injuries, we have quality players to come in and to replace them, you know. And we're no different. We'd obviously love to have a full squad. I would to choose from, and to rotate people that need rotating. We just can't seem to get to that situation at the moment, but I'm happy with what I've got available for the weekend, so it is what it is.
And very good news, Billy Clark is nearing the final phase of his rehabilitation.
Yeah, it would be great to get Billy back. It's like another signing for me. Very clever player, take him a while to get his match fitness up, obviously he's been out a long time, but he's a great lad and a great addition. He's going to be another great addition to the squad, and we'll have to use him wisely in the beginning. But I'm pleased for him to get back and start running. He's running now, so he'll be out with us, I think, with the ball soon, and be great to have him back.
Do you have any idea when he might be available to you?
No, maybe in the next couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks maybe, but he's running, so whenever I see someone running, I just think, well, that's it, they're back. But with Billy, that's going to be a bit different. We have to be careful with him. But the sooner he's back, the better for everybody.
As Lee Bowyer, you're looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to Bradford City then. Talk about Billy Clark there, of course, former Bradford man at the end. So getting closer and closer. It's still probably another month or so by the sounds of it, because by the time he's running, he needs to get his fitness and whatnot, and you have to be careful with an injury like the ACL, which is what Billy had. But so encouraging that the two players have returned from international duty fit in Cullen and in Ward, so it'd be interesting to see whether either of those get the start on Saturday. Maybe not Cullen, judging by what Bowyer was saying.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, because I would have thought Cullen would have gone straight back in, but the way he's talking, maybe not. So I don't know who's going to sit. If we do play a midfield three, who that will be. But, I'd also be surprised if Ward starts myself. But to have both of them on the bench again, it reiterates the fact that we've got some strength in depth now. And when you think of the other players that are missing, like Billy Clark, like Fosu, like Jake, obviously, who's out for the season. The squad's still not massive, but the 18-19 that we have got now is so much stronger than it was, and that's really encouraging.
We think the front two will pick themselves in Taylor and Grant, of course, but now, it depends which formation we're going to play. Yeah. Are we going to play the 4-4-2 with a diamond in the middle? Are we going to play the 3-5-2? So, you know, if we do play the 3-5-2, you'd imagine Saar, Pearce and Bauer at the back, like it was last Saturday, Solly and Page as the wing-backs, and then it's how it works out in the midfield, really, isn't it? Cullen. I've written down Cullen, Aribo and Reeves. Now we're not sure about Cullen now because of what Bowyer said there. And Reeves, is he going to be fit enough to start? Is the question, I guess.
Yeah, and I said off there, I'd give Anthony Jigsdew a little go in. That's where his natural position is.
So his natural position is a more defensive midfielder. So therefore, it'll be a 4-4-2 diamond rather than 3-5-2.
You could, and then that's what I would do personally, because I think if Cullen's not fit enough to start, or you don't want to burn him out too quickly. Yeah, like you say, Reeves just come back. Rebo and Lapsley, you could put them in a two, and then, like you say, do 4-4-2 wingers. But I think Carlin, towards the end of the game against Wickham, he sort of dropped a bit deeper at the top of that diamond where he gets the ball and drives, which I thought he'd done quite well in. But I wouldn't change the top two, like you say. And it'll be interesting to see. Or will he just start Cullen? Because we ain't really got anyone else there, especially with Billick and Prattley out. We ain't really got that defensive cover.
Yeah, we say with Billick, Prattley and Jose are all out, of course, from the last couple of weeks who could have played. So Reeves, I mentioned Reeves, do you think he'd be fit enough to start? I mean, because clearly many people saying that was his best performance in Cheltenham Show last week against Wickham, so whether he's fit enough to come in from the start and do that.
I think he could be, because he played in the Checker trade as well, so he's had a lot of minutes under his belt. I think it easily was his best performance last weekend. I don't know if he'd last the full 90, but by that stage, depending on the result, you can obviously bring players off the bench and change things around. You've obviously got Albie there as well, who I know was carrying a knock, but I think, is he fit again now? So I think we've got options. I'd be surprised. I'd like George Lapsley and Joe Aribo to start in whatever formation we go with. And then I suppose, it depends how Bowyer then decides to set up. But as we've said time and time again, he's not afraid to change things up depending on who we're playing. So we'll have to wait and see on Saturday, I guess.
Now, we ran a poll on our Instagram account. We do have one. Lewis Cat has reignited it recently at Charlton Live on Instagram. Plenty of good stuff on there. And we did a poll on there today on our story saying, who would you like to pick in goal out of Jed Steer and Dylan Phillips? Of course, I mean, last week when Jed Steer came in and we did a poll before the game, I think the majority of people said they felt it was quite harsh on Dylan. Bowyer saying it was because he feels that Steer's footwork, you know, work on the ball, with the ball at his feet, is better than Dylan's. That's why he did it. Now, we did the poll and 65% say they want to see Jed Steer keep his place now up at Bradford. 35% say they want Dylan to come back in. So make sure you check out our Charlton Live Instagram. There'll be plenty more good content on there as the weeks go on. Now, very quickly, the cashy back. We're on a hat-trick here. Well, it's not the cashy back. It's the Jacko's jackpot. We're on a hat-trick. Nath, what have we gone for?
Lawrence sort of picked for Charlton to win, both teams to score, and Lyle to Taylor score at any time. So it's with Skybet, because we're not big enough to do request a bet, so they're going to try and make one tomorrow, hopefully. So I'll put that on tomorrow when I hear back from them, and then find out how much we'll be winning on the third time in a row.
Excellent. Right, very quick predictions, lads. Tom?
Desmond.
Desmond's got the Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
I'm going to go for 1-0 because they don't score many goals. So no. Well, apart from Saturday, but yeah, I'm going to go 1-0.
Yeah, excellent. Well, let's hope that Marshall. Let's hope there is 3 points for Charlton up at Bradford City and we can extend our winning run to 3 games. Right, this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. The hour's flown by, so thanks to all of you who've listened in and joined in as well. Thank you, Tom, for coming in.
Cheers, mate.
Nathan Muller, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, enjoy your weekend.
Fawaz Al-Hassawi, thanks for coming in. Cheers, I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. We'll be back here on Sunday evening, hopefully talking about 3 points for them. Addicts, see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.